Today I'm going to be talking about a topic that's often a little touchy in church, and that's money. Nancy illustrated it and introduced it very well. Thank you. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh great, here comes another guilt trip about tithing, right? That's what churches talk about, money, tithing, give your money to the church. Well, we've already passed the offering plate this morning, and I promise you, we're not passing it again, so it's okay. Your fears about that kind of thing. And actually, we're not going to be talking so much about giving here this morning, but rather about how we use our money out there. Maybe even a little bit more touchy of a topic than, honestly. I'm not asking you to give more to church. I'm asking you to think about what you don't give to church and how you use it elsewhere. John Piper retired as a pastor a few years ago. But he was and is still one of my favorite preachers because of his emphasis on doing all to the glory of God and not wasting your life. There was one particular video clip that from a sermon that he preached once that really made him popular among young people, which I think it should have made him popular among everyone, but young people especially, because he talked about how to live your life in retirement. I mean, as a young person, it's easy to think about these kinds of things because it's so far away. But as an older person, it can be more difficult, can't it? But I want to show about a 4 or 5 minute clip of that sermon real quick, about 4 or 5 minutes worth. So Corey, if you'll find a video clip for us, that'll begin our sermon
about
this morning.
About 3 weeks ago, we got news at our church that Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards were killed in Cameroon. Ruby Eliason, over 80, single all her life, a nurse, poured her life out for one thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the sick and the poor in the hardest and most unreached places. Laura Edwards, a medical doctor in the Twin Cities, and then in retirement, partnering up with Ruby, also pushing 80 and going from village to village in Cameroon. And the brakes give way. Over a cliff they go, and they're dead instantly. And I asked my people, is this a tragedy? Two women in their 80s, almost. A whole life devoted to one idea, Jesus Christ magnified among the poor and the sick in the hardest places. And 20 years after most of their American counterparts had begun to throw their lives away on trivialities in Florida and New Mexico, fly into eternity with a death in a moment. Is this a tragedy? I asked. It is not a tragedy. I'll read you what a tragedy is. I've got a little article here from Reader's Digest. You don't read Reader's Digest, I know that. But there is a generation who does. This is a tragedy. Title of the article, Start Now, Retire Early, February 1998. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And there are people in this country that are spending billions of dollars to get you to buy it. And I get 40 minutes to plead with you, don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. The American dream. A nice house, a nice car, a nice job, a nice family, a nice retirement, collecting shells. As the last chapter before you stand before the creator of the universe to give an account with what you did. Here it is, Lord, my shell collection. Look, Lord, my shell collection. And look at my boat. God, look at my boat, God. Well, not for Ruby and not for Laura. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it.
Ruby and Laura, 180, 179 years old, never married, never became moms, doing exactly what God called them to do. How we live matters. How we spend our time matters. And this applies to every single one of us, you know, mothers, fathers, children, middle-aged men like me. From the youngest of us to the oldest of us, we only have so much time on this earth, right? So we ought not to waste it, but to use it wisely, and especially as we seek to do all things to the glory of God. I want us to focus on a different aspect of what John Piper talked about in that clip, though, and that's the shell collection itself. Now, John Piper wasn't saying that it's wrong to have a collection of some kind. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies. There's nothing wrong with saving all the kids' clothes and hoping that you might use them again someday, having a hoard of collection like that. And there's nothing wrong with particular, you know, enjoying collecting particular things. I think shells are an awesome thing to collect myself. I mean, these things display the wonder and glory and greatness of how God created us and created things. I think that's awesome. When I was a teenager, I myself used to collect these little wheat pennies. Remember those things? The little wheat pennies. That on the backside, it has the two stalks of wheat you can see on them. And my dad and I and my brother, we would search for hours through buckets of pennies looking for the ones that had that characteristic wheat symbol on them. On the back. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. But the issue is simply this. Is that the emphasis of your life? When you think about your life, what really gives it meaning, or what you really want to do with your life, is that it? Hunched over a table, sorting through pennies, in search of the few pennies that are maybe worth a couple pennies more. Is that your life's goal, to have a collection? And by doing things like that, especially how we go about doing things like that, are we neglecting the more important things in life? Because I think we've all at some point treated money and stuff as if it's the most important things in life, when all of it is so incredibly temporary. And God calls us to find our treasure in Him. So let's pray, and then we'll look at the scripture. Father, help us to honor You in the way that we relate to the stuff of this world. Help us not to make idols of these things so that we worship them, but help us to worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting in verse 8, it says this: If you see the oppression of the poor and perversion of justice and righteousness in the province, don't be astonished at the situation, because one official protects another official and higher officials protect them. The profit from the land is taken by all. The king is served by the field. I thought about preaching these first two verses of this passage separately on their own in a different sermon altogether, from the ones that we'll be looking at later in this service. But it really kind of serves as a kind of introduction to what we'll read in a moment, because it's attacking this idea that what we gain in this life matters, even if we gain those things at the expense of others. It's all too common for people with power to take advantage of those without power, whether we're talking about politics, social issues, or even just the dynamics among friends and family and moms and dads and kids. It's far too easy to get focused on what we want, right? Rather than helping others with what they need and want. But if we think about this life as if it's all about gaining as much as we can and getting rich before we die, then that's actually the kind of life that we should live, right? We should try to gain power and gain possessions and only help those who are going to help us out in some way. Because if life's all about getting as much as we can, who cares about other people? Right? Just get rich at the expense of them. Of course, I think we would all recognize that that kind of life would be characterized by sin, or at least what we would call selfishness, right? And yet, if we're honest, that's exactly how often we've all operated in much of this life. And we all have. We're all sinners. And if you don't believe me that we've all sinned in this way specifically, I want you to think about the last time that you saw somebody have a need, even if you didn't think that it was a true need, but they perceived it to be a need. It could have been as they were on the street begging for food or water or money. It could have been in a conversation that you simply overheard in passing as you walked by. Maybe you heard about somebody who had a medical bill, the medical bills that were starting to pile up, or school bills, or even just somebody who couldn't afford to go out to eat because they're out of work and maybe in debt. We often like to dismiss these kinds of needs in others as a matter of our own stewardship with our limited resources, or we reason that they only have those needs because of their own poor stewardship, and we don't want to be enablers, and certainly there's some wisdom in that. And yet, our hearts ought to rush to help people with their needs. When we see somebody who even has a perceived need that we think they don't really need that, shouldn't our heart at least be to help them in some way so that they would see that they don't really need that? And yet so often we just kind of say, we judge people for what they have as their perceived needs. So no matter how they got into that situation, rather than blame them for the situation that they're in, our hearts ought to go out to them with compassion. But rather than having generous hearts, too often we're selfishly clinging to our own possessions. Because even as the kids said, we know that we're sinners. We read in the book of Acts that when Christianity was just beginning, believers would literally sell all of their extra possessions and lay the money at the apostles' feet so that they could be used to help anyone who had a need. Could you imagine if we actually did that today? There's a small part of me that wants to say, empty your wallets right now. But I already promised you we're not passing the collection plate again. Could you imagine if we actually did that? Now, today is a different culture from 2,000 years ago, and maybe it truly wouldn't be practical to do that because of our complicated tax system and cost of living and how you can only give so much to gifts and all that kind of stuff. Taxes are weird. And yet, we ought to eagerly desire to give freely, just as God has freely given Jesus to us. But instead, we selfishly hoard our stuff as if our stuff is what life is all about. There's an obvious fallacy in that way of living, though. Look at verse 10. It says, the one who loves silver is never satisfied with silver. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is futile. This too is futile. When good things increase, the one who consumes them multiply. The ones who consume them multiply. When then is the profit to the owner except what then is the profit to the owner except to gaze at them with his eyes? The sleep of the worker is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich permits him no sleep. It doesn't matter how high you climb on some ladder. If you think that's what life is all about, you'll never be satisfied with what you'll achieve. It doesn't matter how much you gain. If you think that that's what life is all about, you'll never be satisfied with how much you've gathered. I mean, who hasn't had that feeling? And maybe I'm alone here. Who hasn't had that feeling of wanting more? No matter how much you have, we've all had that feeling. Even when we already have everything that meets our basic needs, it's like trying to fill a bottomless pit with more and more stuff. You just keep on throwing more in. You'll never be satisfied with how full it is. I don't recommend it, but there's a rap song called Mo Money, Mo Problems. I've heard from many people who are successful in the eyes of the world say that they were much happier when they weren't as successful. Have you heard that from people? Because now that they're successful, now that everybody's looking at them, they're always worried about losing their money or their businesses collapsing and how they can't even get a good night's sleep anymore because they found that with mo money comes mo problems. We've probably all noticed this to various degrees, right? If you've ever gotten a raise before, even if it's only for a season, as your income increases, it seems like your expenses also increase at the same time. Isn't that weird the way that happens? When you make more, you spend more, and when you start making a little bit less again, you still want to spend as much as you were before because you got used to that way of living? It just seems like it happens over and over and over again. This is why so many actors, you hear about this all the time, so many actors and athletes and businessmen end up going broke even though they made millions of dollars during their careers. No matter how much money we make, if you make life all about money and stuff, it will never be enough. On the flip side, though, if you have just enough to scrape by, maybe you might have other worries. But you don't have to constantly worry about making more. You can just praise God for what you have. And you hear that over and over too. People who have next to nothing saying, thank God he's provided enough for another day. Verse 13, it says, there's a sickening tragedy I've seen under the sun. Wealth kept by its owner to his harm. That wealth was lost in a bad venture so that when he fathered a son, he was empty-handed. As he came from his mother's womb, so he will go again. Naked as he came, he will take nothing for his efforts that he can carry in his hands. This, too, is a sickening tragedy. Exactly as he comes, so he will go. What is the one gain who struggles for the wind? What is more, he eats in darkness all his days with much frustration, sickness, and anger. And what a joyful sermon we have on this Mother's Day, isn't it? But this is how life is. This is how life is. And so often, so many times on Mother's Day, we come together and we go through the motions of rejoicing, but the honest truth is that it's not always sunshine and roses, is it? There are so many people, this is where so many people go wrong when it comes to finances as well. It says, wealth is kept by its owner to his own harm. Money and possessions kept just for yourself will end up hurting you. Money and possessions kept just for yourself will end up hurting you. The more you make life about material gain, the less you own possessions and the more your possessions own you. See, wealth isn't meant to be hoarded for yourself. It's meant to be used as a blessing for others. And that's not to say that you can't have nice things or save for retirement. Of course, you can. But if you do even those kinds of things just for you, as if it's all about you, it's never going to satisfy you. Never. And it could all be gone in an instant. And then where will you be? You were born naked, owning nothing, and we'll all die naked. Because even the clothes on our back, we can't take with us. Our soul lives on, and where we go, we can't even take the clothes on our back. We were made from dust, and to dust we shall return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, once again, kind of a depressing thought. Everything we try to gain in this life, we can't take with us, and we haven't gained anything. So, if nothing we gain in this life matters, what does matter? Verse 18. Here is what I have seen to be good. It is appropriate to eat, drink, and experience good in all the labor one does under the sun during the few days of his life God has given him, because that is his reward. Furthermore, everyone to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also allowed him to enjoy them. take his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God, for he does not often consider the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with the joy of his heart. What we gain in this life doesn't matter, but it's good to enjoy the things of this life. God gives us all these things as a blessing. And we all have various degrees of these blessings, so we shouldn't be envious of another person's blessings, but be thankful for what we have been blessed with. Paul wrote that if we have food and clothing, just those two basic needs, he says, with these we should be content. In our materialistic culture, we can get so consumed with what other people have or what commercials say that we could have or should have, and we sometimes forget that we already have everything that we need for the most part. I mean, the very fact that we're all here this morning, alive, means that we've survived up to this point. We've had enough food. Thankfully, I see that we all have clothing on this morning. So with these, we should be content. Because God has provided for us and sustained us to this point in our lives. That's why James wrote in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So many things in this life change, don't they? Shadows change. That's a clear example. Economy goes up and down. I mean, if you base your life on these kinds of things, where's your hope? But God doesn't change. And every good thing that we receive from anyone, any source whatsoever, ultimately it's a gift from God, the unchanging God, because God is the source of everything good, because God alone is good. So even these things that we've been talking about, riches and wealth, temporary things, are to be received from God as a gift. If you have them, that's great. If you don't have them, don't be envious of those who do. But if you do have them, don't feel guilty about having them. Instead, seek to use them for God's glory, just as the women of means supported Jesus during his ministry, because God gives people various degrees of financial blessings in order to serve him in various ways. Instead of hoarding our wealth, whether we have much or little, clinging to it as if it's the most important thing in the world, use it to bless others, whether that's through supporting missions, helping out a neighbor in need, or simply being generous with our resources, using the stuff that God has given us so that we can love others as God has loved us. And think about what that means. As God has loved us, so ought we to love one another. I mean, God gave Jesus. God gave his only son. And that's our model of giving. Don't give your children away. I'm not saying that. But the things that we cling to as most valuable in life, maybe we should say, God has given us Jesus. Who am I to hold on to this stuff? So often we cling to the things of this life as if they mean something and will last forever. But only God is forever. So cling to him. So as we go about our daily lives, let's remember that wealth and possessions, whether we have little or much, are just temporary blessings, and that our true treasure is in heaven. That's Jesus. Let's use what we have to bless others and bring glory to God, and let's rely on Jesus and his grace to save us. Let's not waste our lives chasing after things that ultimately fade away. Instead, let's focus on the things that truly matter, our relationship with God through Jesus, our Savior. As I reflect on that wheat penny collection, the coolest thing about that was spending time with my dad. My dad collected coins at the time as well. So we'd go to coin stores together and coin shows, and we'd talk about our coins. But the coins weren't really the point. You might have a collection of some kind too. That's okay, but don't make the collection itself the point. Paul wrote, "I've become all things to all people that I might save some." Use whatever you have in order to build a group of people, in order to share Jesus. That's the point, because Jesus is the point. Peter said it like this, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and likeness and goodness." See, in Jesus, we have everything we already need for life. You think we need money? You don't really need money. You have Jesus. You have Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. I love the t-shirt that says, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Have you seen that? That's a great quote. It's so true. And I'm not even saying that, you know, as we've already read, if God's blessed you with things, use it for God's glory, of course. Don't just like cast off the blessings as if they're not blessings. God's giving you these things for a reason. But recognize that it's from God and use it for God. Even as you feed your family, do it to the glory of God. Even as you feed yourself, do it to the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Because life isn't about stuff. It's about Jesus himself. All of history is his story. Points us to Jesus. And all of our longings in life aren't satisfied in stuff, but in Jesus. C.S. Lewis said it like this in Mere Christianity. If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. I love that quote. So when it comes to your money, your stuff, ask yourself, am I living as if this world is all that there is? Or am I living for the life to come? And that life starts when you place your faith in Jesus.